G'day sports fans, thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Sports by Fry podcast. I am back about 24 hours out from the start of the AFL fantasy season. Full disclosure, I've been battered by COVID for the last few days, so I haven't been able to produce as much content as I would have liked, but I am going to record this video slash podcast for the SBF community, picking my starting side for the AFL fantasy season. Luckily, I've actually been quarantined for a few days, moved a lot of magnets at the large Fries and Coke HQ, and I'm feeling pretty solid a day or so out from round one. So I'm going to clear my team, pick my entire squad from scratch, and this will not change unless something pear-shaped happens during team selection tomorrow night. So let's get amongst it. Okay, so as I mentioned, there's about a day and a couple of hours until the fantasy season starts, and I'm sure I'm not the only fantasy coach making a couple of preseason tweaks and changes to my lineup. Pretty happy with how my team is going to unfold, but there's a couple of moving parts that I think will dictate exactly how the large Fries and Coke look to start the season. So I'm going to go line by line, talk through a couple of my picks, a couple of players that are in consideration, but mainly lock in a squad of 30 prior to round one. So if I'm starting in defense, I think it's obvious I'm a huge fan of Nick Daicos, and I don't think there's a world where I take the bloke out of my starting team. I've been high on him all preseason. He looked really good in round zero. He's playing a pure midfield role, so maybe there's not as many cheap kicks in the back line as possible, but I'm confident that Daicos will be the best fantasy defender. So I'm locking him in at D1. And my structure has changed slightly with regards to how many other premium defenders I've got. I was batting a bit deeper in other iterations of the large Fries and Coke, but one lock that has been there for me all preseason and won't be changing is Hayden Young. Now, the tricky bit is whether I want to put him at D2 or D3. And at the moment, I'm just going to pencil him in my third defensive spot because another West Australian defender, primarily a midfielder, but I'm talking Elliot Yeo. He will reside at D4 for me. And this is how my team has looked for the majority of the preseason. And I've been pretty happy having those blokes in that slot. The tricky thing for me now is trying to find someone for D5 because I did have Kadeem Coleman sitting there. Unfortunately, as we all know, he's not going to take part in any of the fantasy seasons. So I've had to pivot slightly. I've contemplated the idea of picking Zach Williams. He's really cheap. And I think that he's going to clearly outperform his break even and be a great value selection, but I'm not completely sold on it. And one man who I do love in this potential spot, who's not super expensive, is Connor Butterick. Now, we know that the Gold Coast game against Richmond, scores-wise, we can take a little bit with a grain of salt because Gold Coast smoked the Tigers. So I don't expect Butterick to come out and drop 88 every week, but after scoring 88 in that round zero game, Connor Butterick now has a break-even of 6. The break-even seemed to be a bit all over the shop, as I'm sure most coaches know, rolling into round one. But I think I feel pretty comfortable putting Butterick there. And someone that hasn't moved from my D6 slot most of the preseason is Nick Caulfield. So that almost rounds out my on-field selections. I'm going mainstream down back as well. Zach Reed will be my D7. And after a strong performance against Sydney, I'll be picking Blake Howes on the bench as well. He'll probably act as the emergency and hopefully the dude can get a couple of kicks and keep his cash generation rolling. The tricky thing is, how much do I want to spend in this second defensive slot? I've had Harry Sheasel there at times this preseason, Tommy Stewart as well, who I'm really keen on as a fantasy pick. But Nisaiah Wanganeen-Millara, I'm sure I butchered his first name, but I don't think that he has some upside price at about 90-odd. I think he had a huge breakout last season, so you know there might not be a huge room for growth, but I do love the way that his price kind of meshes with the rest of my team structure. So that means I'm rolling with Daicos, NWM, Hayden Young, Elliot Yeo, Butterick and Caulfield with my bench picks as Zach Reed and Blake Howes. A lot of popular names there that I'm sure other coaches are considering. Rolling into the midfield now, and this is where things get interesting because I've toyed with the idea of putting Tom Green as my first midfielder. Some iterations of my squad I've paid up for Bont as well, but I'm really happy with how the rest of my team looks if I go a little bit cheaper and avoid those uber premium players. So the first couple of players that I will pick for my midfield are Port Adelaide duo Connor Rosie and Zach Butters. Now, there's some people who are a little bit off Butters after his ankle tweak against Fremantle in the preseason hit out, but all reports indicate that he's going to be there round one. I'm not too worried about slotting him in. I think even if he is slightly underdone, he's an extreme value pick priced under 100. So the Port duo will be my M1 and M2 to commence the year. And another popular pick who hasn't moved recently for me is Jack Steele. Plenty of meat on the bone if he can get back to his best. So as a result, Jack Steele will slot into my third midfield spot. And this M4, M5 rotations change slightly. I know a lot of people are considering guys like Ollie Wines, Matty Crouch, Nick Martin, and most fantasy coaches out there are trying to get as many of those three as they can. But a guy that I picked in my second iteration of my team early January that I think I'm going to stick with is Jai Newcombe. Priced at 93, I think there's a bit of meat on the bone. He's probably Hawthorn's best midfielder and clearance beast. So that gives me a top four of Rosie, Butters, Jack Steele, and Jai Newcombe, which I kind of like the looks of. So I think one of those value picks in Crouch, Wines, or Martin will take up residency in M5. And at the moment, I'm leaning towards picking Nick Martin, partially because I know he's a lock for defender status in round six, but I really think there's upside on the 85 he's priced at off the dome. Yeah, 85 is his break even. So if he can put 10 points on that, I'll be pretty chuffed. And then I go relatively cheap with the rest of my mids. I think George Wardlaw is still a fantastic value option. He's tackled his way to a pretty decent score most weeks and had about an 80-odd against St Kilda. So I expect him to average somewhere in that 75 to 80 mix. And then filling out the rest of the midfield are all the mainstream rookies that you know about. I'm talking Colby McKercher. The other on-field rookie that I'll have at the moment is Riley Sanders. I could maybe put in Matt Roberts as an on-field selection. It's a move that I have considered, but like I've said, it actually suits the bulk of my team to slot Matty Roberts onto my pine. I don't think we'll see 91 from him every week. That might even be his season high, if I'm being frank. So as a result, Matty Roberts and Jai Clark from Geelong will be my midfield bench picks. And that means at the moment, not counting Caulfield because he's a little bit inflated, I've only got two rookies on field and I feel pretty safe and happy with that. I won't spend long on the rucks because I've had Gawn and Grundy in these two spots for the entire preseason and Harry Barnett will be taking up residency as my R3. There are some people a little bit worried about Haz Barnett because they want him to be the loophole option and it doesn't seem like that's going to be the case because West Coast might be keen to play him. So keep that in mind. I think we do want to kind of be making money if possible in that spot though. Toby Conway isn't really an option. There's no other basement price rucks that interest me. So I'm going to be sticking to my guns and putting the same three players into the ruck spots that I've had all preseason. Now we roll into the forward line, which has caused a lot of dilemmas for fantasy coaches throughout the preseason. There's names like Isaac Heaney, Jack McRae, Sam Flanders, Luke Jackson. All these guys have been talked about as F1 picks. And I think with regards to my structure, and maybe it's a little bit of the Dockers fan in me, but I really like the idea of putting Luke Jackson as that first forward. We all know that Sean Darcy's going to miss at least a month of the season, maybe a little bit more. And if I can swap him with Harry Barnett at times during the best of 18 rounds, means I've got someone that I can cover Gordon Grundy with during the buys. So LJ will sit at F1 for me. And in some iterations of my team, I've ignored Zach Fisher. He is a little bit injury prone, but no early buy and still clocks in pretty cheap. I really like the role that he had running around for North against St Kilda last week. Break even of 69. Nice. I think he's too much value to be passed up on. So as a result, he'll start the season as my F2. And it means that if I'm spending up a little bit more, I'm probably going to have to go cheap with the rest of my picks. So James Jordan, another lock for most coaches' forward lines. He's going to sit at F3 for me to start the year. And then there's three on-field spots left. And I have toyed with the idea of putting someone like Elijah Sardis in there. Cam McKenzie was in my latest team. But if I do want to pay up for Fisher rather than batting a bit thinner in the forward line, it means I'm probably going to have to go cheap with his final on three forwards. So on-field forwards. So I'm going to be picking Alex Sexton as my F4. And then I'm looking rookies after this. Harley Reid will come in at F5 at this stage. Charlie Lazaro, F6, and then Darcy Wilson is my F7, the St Kilda debutant. So that might change week to week, and who knows, when we see the teams drop on Thursday, maybe I'll even tweak a few things and put Lazaro onto the bench, Harley Reid maybe even at F7 and put Darcy Wilson onto my field, but I'm pretty content with how that forward line looks. It leaves me, again, with only four rookies. If I'm looking at guys priced under 400 grand, I've got six of them on my field, including Caulfield and Sexton, which I'm not too unhappy about. I think, again, the balance of my team feels right. So as a result, I think I'll be sticking fat with that. Now filling out the last couple of bench spots, I've been extremely high on Aaron Cadman, and his preseason form hasn't deterred me from picking him as well. So he's my F8 at the moment, which leaves me with 286K to spend for a utility. And I've kind of warmed to the idea of putting Zane Dersma in this spot. He's going to have great job security from a fantasy standpoint. We know that the key forwards aren't exactly conducive to great fantasy scores, but with that money, it does leave me enough to maybe slot someone like Jeremy Sharp in, who I'm tempted to pick as a Dockers man. But Caleb Windsor as a mid forward is the one who will take up residency in my utility spot. Break even in single digits after his round zero game means that there's a lot to like about Caleb Windsor. He's only scored a couple of mid 40s in his two, his preseason game and round zero so far, but he still has plenty of money to make. So sped through it pretty quickly, but that is how the large fries and Coke are looking ahead of round one. I know that there's some moving parts. Maybe I chop Caleb Windsor to try and find a bit more dough and shuffle a few pieces. I still am a little bit hesitant to ignore Cam McKenzie, but in saying that, I like the way this team looks. So going from top to bottom, let's have a quick squiz. Like I said, I've got Dacos, Nozeo Wanganeen-Millera, Hayden Young, Elliot Yeo, Connor Buderick, and then Nick Caulfield as my on-field defenders. Zach Reed and Blake Howes will take up residency on the bench. Rolling into the mids, the Port Adelaide duo, Rosie and Butters, will be M1 and M2, followed by Jack Steele and Giant Newcomb. I could maybe go for someone like Wines or Crouch, but I don't really want to have all three Port mids, so that deters me from Wines. And like I said, I think Nick Martin will definitely get dual position status in round seven, so he's a lock for me at M5 at the moment. Pretty vanilla going Wardlaw, McKercher, and Sanders in my last on-field midfield spots, and then Matty Roberts and Jai Clark on the pine. Gorn, Grundy, and Hazza Barnett in the rucks, which leaves me with Luke Jackson, Zach Fisher, Jimmy Jordan, Alex Sexton, Harley Reid, Charlie Lazaro, and then on the bench, Darcy Wilson and Aaron Cadman, with Caleb Windsor sitting in my utility. So pretty happy with how that looks. Make sure you comment below how your round one team's structured up. Like I said at the lead off, there is only about a day left until we start the fantasy season. And I don't know about you, but I'm well and truly ready for this fantasy campaign to begin. I'm done overanalyzing my team and chopping and changing magnets. So pretty confident with how the large fries and Coke are looking rolling into round one. Before I go, make sure that you head to the Dream Team Talk site now. I dropped my huge comprehensive rookie guide this morning, targeting a couple of rookies in each line, talking about which guys might not be in the mix for round one, but could be potentially fantasy factors throughout the season. And of course, it would be remiss of me to ignore the Perth Wildcats playing in game three tonight for a spot in the NBA Grand Final series. So shout out to the Wildcats. Make sure we get the dub tonight. Sorry, Warnie and all the other Tassie Jack Jumper fans. That's going to do it. Thanks again for listening to this episode. Always appreciated, and I'll catch you next time.